This is the FC Profession Series podcast, a monthly discussion of news relevant to the U.S. Army Finance Corps worldwide, abridged from the FC Profession Series webcast. Here's your host, Sahib Singh.
Hello, and welcome to today's FC Profession Series and FC podcast. I'm Sahib Singh, your host for today. Joining us today are Command Sergeant Major Craig Rodlin, U.S. Army Finance and Comptroller School Senior Enlisted Advisor and Regimental Sergeant Major, and Sergeant Major Nam Voma from Proponency.
All right, well, good morning, good afternoon, wherever, whatever time zone you're in. I'm Command Sergeant Major Craig Rodlin, been in the Army for 23 years, hailed Rolla, North Dakota, joined in 2001, and then started in the 82nd, but then accumulated with about 12 years of special operations background, and then went back to conventional Army, and then now took over this job in April.
I'm Sergeant Major Voma. I'm a few months shy of my 22nd year in the Army. Joined in 2002. I was in delayed entry for about 6 months before I shipped out for training. So I've been around a few duty stations. First duty station was Alaska. From Alaska, I went to Fort Carson. Fort Carson to Fort Bliss. Fort Bliss to Belgium. Belgium back to the Big Red One, Fort Riley, Kansas. And then from Fort Riley, Kansas to the Joint Special Operations Command. And from there, to the academy, and then to Germany, and then here I am right now in the SSI as a Proponency Sergeant Major.
What he's failing to tell you is just last Thursday, Slate 2 for CSMs was released, and he is going to be taking over 106 Finance Battalion next year. Our first topic of discussion will be DAPAM 600-25. The one big change over the last couple of years is the location of where 600-25 is located, so that's on the Army G1 Pub's website. Changes that we had to make for 600-25 was mostly on some of the grade plates. We had some nomenclature changes with the force design update when that was released. So we had to correct some language such as detachment sergeant to platoon sergeant. And then with the battalions coming online, we also had to make some changes with leadership positions. We had to prioritize leadership and such. We did 18 to 24 months to get MQ'd into like squad leader, platoon sergeant, and first sergeant. There may be some questions on squad leader. I know our MTO does not specifically say squad leader. The way you address that is through the NCOER as an appointed duty. Most of those staff sergeants in the platoons, there's four each platoon, those should be identified as squad leaders. However, that's up to your command. And if you're sitting in that squad leader position, in order to get credit, just put it on the front of that NCOER as an appointed duty, and the board members will see that.
So just a quick breakdown on how the DAPAM 625 is organized. The chapter one talks about the overall duties of the CMF 36 Bravo, which is our CMF. Our chapter two talks about the transformation that's brought about by the force design update that kicked in 1 October of last year, and how that transformation in our duty positions that's from Major Roland covered, and our structure and our function. And then in chapter three, he talks about the specific career management and self-development programs that we have. And then in our chapter four talks about the specific things by rank that we can do to distinguish ourselves and make ourselves, you know, for promotions and things like that. And chapter five and six is chapter five is covers the Army career track, which is where our new talent development model is posted. All those duty positions have been updated, you know, in conjunction to reflect the changes with the FDU, and those ones have been updated in ACT, what they call ACT, the Army career track. And our chapter six is geared towards the National Guard and the reserve folks.
Based off of DAPAM 600-25, CMF 36, when we start looking at those individual positions, and we'll just start from like sergeant to staff sergeant and then sergeant first class and so forth, what are some of the major things that, you know, have been outlined in there that you feel kind of will make a change in terms of, you know, those selection boards or promotion boards, as you say?
I think with the force design and having battalions, I mean, it's just the emphasis is going to be on leaders. Where the most of our SRC 14 population falls in line is in those battalions. You know, the Army is in the business of making leaders. That battalion is going to, that's why we prioritize some KD in those battalions. It also has, you know, an additional 12 months of broadening assignment, and that's where some of those resource management positions or other jobs can come in line. And it's not to say you won't get promoted, just if you never get an opportunity to do KD, you can still get promoted. You know, that's just to get most qualified. Let me back up a second and we'll touch on Army G1 Pub's website. There are two links in there when you get to the CMF 36. That very first link is the doctrine that he talked about with all the chapters. So that's just text. The second link is the board supplemental. Those are slides, has the career map in there. And then in there, it has slides that talk about leadership, PT and different things. And those are the things that PowerPoint is what board members see on the evaluation board. So they use that. There's no branch brief. I don't go, no other branch goes in front of the panel that is evaluating your products or evaluating your files. You know, they read that PowerPoint. So they're looking at that to judge your file for their vote. But that's the difference between the two links.
You mentioned that, you know, a lot of those key billets are down the towns where, you know, majority of the enlisted force, you know, is currently serving. So what about those, you know, financial management NCOs slash, you know, budget analyst managers that are, you know, at the G8s and other SA type, you know, organizations?
Yeah, they're absolutely still important. You know, there's going to be some command relationships there. There's a good opportunity that HHC, HHBN or whatever might use them as a platoon sergeant, a squad leader or such. And if they so choose to do that within their organizations, they can put that on their NCR and still get that credit. However, at the end of the day, those are still staff positions. We want to prioritize leadership. So some NCOs are going to have to make the tough call to take leadership over staff, but staff is still important and you can still get KD qualified by having that conversation with your Raider and senior Raider and trying to see if you can take on that squad leader, platoon sergeant duty within that company or battalion, wherever you're at.
And again, if I may add just something, everything is tied to performance. How do you perform in those positions that you are in? It doesn't matter if you're in the first sergeant position, if you're in the platoon sergeant position, or if you're in the RM, you know, GIT or SIT, or whatever position, it's the performance that determines your credit selection for promotion or your potential for promotion. So if you're not performing as a first sergeant, you may not still get the most qualified. So it's not an automatic thing where you just, because you have, by virtue of being in that position, you think that you're just an MQ, most qualified. It's all tied down to your performance, how you perform in any of those duty positions. So we have the critical development positions, and then we have the key development positions, which are just the prioritization of those leadership positions.
We can kind of talk FCS credentialing, try and get on that topic.
So before we get into that, I'll just put that under the umbrella of professional development. And under that, we'll discuss about four things. We'll talk about the credentialing, and this part of the credentialing will focus on the institutionally delivered credentialing, which is what is offered by the schoolhouse. We'll talk about our partnership with the University of South Carolina. We'll talk about data analytics. We'll hear more about that from Samuel Rutland. And then we'll also talk about our functional courses that are offered in-house as well. And then we'll finally talk about the other programs that are also good for professional development that are offered by the Syracuse University. So the first one there is the institutionally delivered credentialing. That aspect of it is, we know every fiscal year we have 4,000 for tuition assistance. And tuition assistance covers your tuition for school as well as credentialing that you get from the school website. So everything totals to 4,000. So it's not $4,000 separated into TA separate or 4,000 for credentialing. No, it is 4,000 both combined. But what the schoolhouse offers is a different type of credentialing, which doesn't count as part of that tuition assistance. So we get funding from CASCOM for training and development and things like that. And so it is capped at $800 per fiscal year per soldier. And so what does that mean? You can only take one of those courses per fiscal year.
Sorry, you had mentioned that $800 per soldier per fiscal year. Yes. This is only for service members then, is that correct?
Yes, right.
Okay, and what's the best way that soldiers can reach out to get this if they were interested in, you know, taking these opportunities? What's the best way that they can do that?
And the biggest thing is to go to the FCNet. I'll advise everybody to go to the FCNet, click on the join, and there we can get all the updates, the course offerings, where to submit your packets.
So first things first, you need to go on MailSweep to FCNet, and on there you can get the link to, you know, all these courses and all the information that's required, to include the the paperwork that you're going to need filled out. And you just need a supervisor signature. Once that is all completed, and you send that back over to Proponency and they will action accordingly. One additional thing, all these IDCs, can they be actively put on your SRB?
Yes, they can.
Awesome. All right, cool. I think that should be it on that. We can actually go ahead and we can talk about the, USC slash FCS partnership.
All right. So one of the big partnerships that we have here at the schoolhouse is with the University of South Carolina, where we're getting into data analytics. So again, data analytics is an Army-wide initiative. They're trying to make everybody data literate. We've put data analytics into every level of PME here at the schoolhouse. Some like AIT, for example. They start with data analytics, they get 40 hours of it. So then they're briefing the Commandant and I, every class on a product, like they're building dashboards. So your AIT soldiers are leaving here very knowledgeable on data and how to use Power BI and other tools. But with that partnership, we have three levels of courses here. We have the basic analytics course. It's a 1 week virtual class. And then we also have IDAC, your intermediate data analytics course. So that's 2 weeks. It can be offered virtual or in person. The in-person one is centrally funded. You just sign up for that on the FCS SharePoint page. And then we also have the advanced business analytics course. So this one does require a bachelor's degree. It does offer graduate degrees and an ASI. There's some additional programs that I do want to cover just to make sure people understand that they are out there. You know, University of South Carolina, there's a few things with them. They offer the Army Comptroller course. It's a 3 week, and I think their schedule varies between residential and virtual.
Yeah.
And so then they also have the Executive Comptroller course, and then they have Financial Management 101 and Senior Resource Manager course. SRMC is designed for your senior ranks. There are rank requirements on that one. Going back to the University of South Carolina, the last thing I want to touch is the Defense Comptrollership program. I'm sorry, Syracuse. I said the wrong one. My apologies. Syracuse University. That's a master's program. It's a double master's. You go, you PCS for 14 months, and you earn an MBA and an MPA. So a master's of business, a master's of, MPA, the public affairs, or public administration, excuse me. And then we'll touch on TWI, the training with industry. So that's just, you spend a year working with Armed Forces Bank out of Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and you learn all things operational banking. So the idea is that you're going to come out of that and be an operational banking NCO or officer within the new 45th AFMEC finance center structure.
What are some of maybe some advantages or things that you feel that, you know, folks should apply more so for that TWI? That's considered a PCS, right?
You know, once you complete the TWI, there's an ASI assigned to it and you move directly. That's one of those trainings that directly correlate to your job. You go to any of the banking positions, and we currently have those banking positions with the AFME, the Army Financial Management Centers. You know, the headquarters is in Indianapolis, Team Alpha, Team Bravo, and Team Charlie in Hawaii, in Fort Knox, and also in Germany. And so you have those banking positions. So you go in directly as a banking manager.
I don't want to skip over our functional courses. Let me hit those real quick, and then we'll move on to other initiatives. So yep. Just also in the schoolhouse internally, we have the Planning, Programming, Budget, Execution course, PPBE. That's a 2 week virtual course. And then we also have the GFIBS cost management course, 2 weeks resident course that we offer. So if anybody's paid attention, Honorable Spangler, I think recently published her FY25 strategic guidance. And if you look at that, there's a couple key things on there. One of them being an NCO handbook. So something that we've been missing is a handbook that actually defines what each of our NCOs do within all the different areas that we work. So resource management, FIOC, FISC, AFMIC, you know, finance battalion. Yeah. So by grade E5, 3, 9, the idea is we have working groups established that will break all those out. So we have compo 2 and 3 working groups to outline what they do differently, if anything, versus compo 1. So those working groups are ongoing. By hopefully summer of next year, we'll have a product that we can get out to the field. Other initiatives that we're working on. So we're changing, I'll call it the awards program. But what most people know it is a finance soldier and NCO of the year. So this year we're going to change some stuff, and the MOI should come out in the next couple of weeks. I'm just waiting on a little bit more information from our historian to meet some requirements that I've got going. But we're going to add in officers. So this year we'll also add officers to the competition. We'll also have a nomination for Senior Civilian and Civilian of the Year and Spouse of the Year. So that those are all new officers, the civilians and the spouses. And then next thing we have coming up. So in December, we're doing a tabletop exercise. So a tabletop exercise, what is that? That's a simulated battle lab. What we're going to do is we're going to take all the SRC 14 organizations, and we're going to have them built into a simulation of a large scale combat operation. And we're going to test that new force design against doctrine. So FM 480 is soon to be released. It is in its final stages of staffing. There's just a couple of small wickets that we got to work our way through, and then it should get published here in the first quarter prior to the tabletop exercise. But the idea is whatever's written into that doctrine, we'll have to demonstrate in this simulated exercise. This is a professionally done simulated exercise by the Fort Gregg Adams Simulation Battle Lab. And we'll have a whole bunch of Army senior leaders there from all compos and all different echelons of those organizations. So we'll have FIOC, FISC, Finance Battalion, and AFMIC representation there. The last initiative that we're kind of working on within the community is we're relooking the resource management billets. So years ago, we used to have Sergeant Majors in the Corps, G8s. We don't have those anymore. We lost those. And so we're trying to get those back. It's looking promising. I think FY26 is the last thing we heard. So if that happens, that'll be a great, great win. We'll get Sergeant Majors back at the Corps. Then the second step to that is going to be, and we're still doing the analysis on it, we're running into some grade plate issues and trying to find bill payers, is putting E8s in all of the divisions.
If you're a civilian and or a service member on here, you should easily be able to go on Mill Suite and go to the FCNet channel. And from there, you can get all this information as well. So that's a little piece on that.
I'll steal some words from our commandant. He likes to tell everybody, and I 100% agree with him, you know, this isn't my core or his core. This is our core. So please, if you see anything that needs to be improved at the institutional level, and even on the operational level, we know enough people, like, reach out to us, tell us, don't be afraid to send me an email. I get emails all the time from, like, to say an E5 from a different branch that wants to, you know, change branches because everybody loves finance and they want to come to finance. And so I have to punt that over to Sergeant Major Bowman. He gets to make those calls. But no, don't be afraid to reach out to us if you see anything that needs to be improved. If we're doing something right, please let us know that as well. We're open to hearing all of that. We're here to help you. We work for you.
Sergeant Major Voma, you know, before you head out to Germany and live that good life over there as a battalion Sergeant Major, you know, anything else that you would like to share?
Well, just like Sergeant Major Robin said, it is our core. So it's our collective responsibility to steward it, to make it better. That said, it was a lot of initiatives that are being worked in-house that sometimes the field does not get that opportunity or to know what is happening. There's a slight, not disconnect, but they're not really up to speed with everything that's going on. I think this forum is a great forum where we can showcase that and show them what is being worked behind the scenes to help steward our profession. And so that said, we need a little some help, especially with the handbook that we talked about. Those position descriptions of for the E5 through the E6, because that's going to help the raiders and the senior raiders as well. Imagine if you have a civilian who is a raider and has no idea what you're doing, what their duty responsibility is. They only know your duty title, but what do you do? So we will have that to go along with the requisite training for that position. So that will be in that manual, that handbook.
Dialing in during this time of the year as well, as you know, we're going to the end of fiscal year. I know there's a lot of moving pieces in Fort Jackson as well. And then, you know, you guys came on and, you know, gave us your time. So for that, we're very thankful. So on behalf of, you know, ASAFMC, FEMCOM, and obviously the schoolhouse, thank you for joining today and giving us this your valuable time and sharing this information. Once again, thank you all. Have a great weekend to support and serve.
If you would like to see the full-length video of this presentation, simply follow the DIVIDS link in the description.